welcome to the Real Housewife of the West Side podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Today, I have Grant Rutter from the Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk podcast on. I've been listening to his podcast for quite a while, and he always has really interesting guests and commentaries. And he, of course, doesn't just talk about Housewives and Bravo, but like me, he also talks about pop culture, you know, news that's going on. I was actually on his podcast yesterday, so if you haven't checked that out, make sure to go over to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. He's on all the networks, all the platforms. So that was a really good time. So make sure you go over there and check that out. He and I had a really fun conversation. We didn't set out to talk about anything really specific, but we kind of went all over the place. We talked about Housewives. We went into Scientology. It was a great time. If you haven't already, if you could please give me a 5-star rating or review, I would so, so greatly appreciate it. Also, this conversation with Grant, we really, really went in depth. This is the condensed version of our conversation. If you want the full unedited cut, go on over to my Patreon. It's patreon.com/RHOW. I did cut quite a bit out, probably around 30, 35 minutes, maybe a little more than that. But over on the Patreon, I go into some stuff about Beverly Hills, some Dallas stuff. Just stuff that, you know, it's better to keep on a smaller, you know, close-knit circle. So definitely go check that out if you are interested. Otherwise, I think that's it. We will get into it with Grant. I have Grant Rutter here with me from Grant's Rants, and you're actually here. We're not talking on the phone.
In person, right across from you.
In person,
I know. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited. We were just talking about, I was listening to your episode this week with Costa, yes, from the Netherlands, and he was so funny. You guys were talking about Brittany, and...
I think he was my first international guest. I've had over 120 episodes now, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't remember coordinating with like different time zones. So it's difficult enough to book these people. And then when you're dealing with seriously. A 7-hour time difference, forget it.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, that's lucky that you could even do it. Yeah.
And then they were having their daylight savings time, and it was like, wait, what time is it?
I didn't even know they had daylight savings time.
They had their summer change, it was all very confusing. But he's a good guy. I like the show. Yeah, it was a good one.
No, it was really good. So, okay, so you are watching. I know you have issues with Beverly Hills this season. Please tell me.
First of all, let me say from the beginning, I hold Beverly Hills to a very high standard. I thought it was very good in the beginning. I enjoyed it. I thought it really was like the gold standard of what these shows could and should be. And I've been extremely, extremely disappointed with the show probably the last 3 or 4 years. And last season, I basically had no more interest in watching it. This season I had no at all intention of watching it. But I'm roped into all these things when I talk about Housewives. And, you know, I get curious. I'm nosy.
Right.
And so I watched it with zero expectations.
Right.
Like, you know, but somehow it was worse than I remember it. I mean, I think this show is just horrendous. The way it's produced, the storylines, or the lack thereof. The casting sucks. I hate to be so negative, but again, I hold it to a high standard. It could be great. And I quickly realized, basically, at the end of the day, what I'm seeing, who's there, I'm not really interested. You know, the people who I watched for in the beginning are no longer there. I'm not crazy about what's happening now. So I'm kind of left with a crowd of people I really don't care about. I like Erica Jane.
Right, yeah.
But she's not must-see TV for me.
Right. It's very, like, vanilla.
Yeah, I'm, like, hearing or there about a lot of them. And then there's the other one, Lisa Vanderpump, who I absolutely cannot stand, deal with, acknowledge. I mean, you know, I know she has a rabid fan base. I mean, I don't consider myself too much of a hater, but I'm just not a major fan, and I have a lot of reasons why, but I don't enjoy her.
What I was going to ask you is, has the LVP army come after you yet?
You know, honestly, no.
Really?
I think a lot of people don't F with me. I don't know why, what it is. Maybe it's just not, I'm not in many people's faces. Every once in a while, I'll get some messages.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. I'll try to do clickbait, whatever. You're a hater and all that. I mean, I get it sometimes in the comments on YouTube. I do, like, some shows here and there at AfterBuzz TV. And then that's a little bit more of, like, a rough crowd. I love a lot of them. But, like, you know, that's where you're really going to get dragged. I think people listening or following me, they know what they're getting. So, like, I'm not getting too much hate. But, like, when you open yourself up, like, I don't know, maybe after this show people will come to me. I don't know. I mean, not. I can handle it. It's fine. It's my opinion. And if you're going to get that wrapped up over my view on Real Housewives, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I went back and was watching last summer from the beginning. I went back and watched from the beginning. And the first season of Beverly Hills was so good.
Yeah, the second one was good too.
And I was like, it's hard. I feel like, I don't know, like, how can you really beat that?
Yeah. The biggest problem is these women are there to self-promote and just self-produce. That's the number one problem. Season one, I don't think many of them, except for Vanderpump, who definitely self-produced. I mean, she had jokes written for her saying the interviews. But I think the others didn't really know what it was all about, and they were just kind of signing up and just letting it all hang out. Right. Now you've got all these deals coming from this. You know, Lisa Rinna's there for her deals, her daughter's career. They each have their own agenda one by one, whether it's Beverly Beach or World Tour or whatever. So you know what I mean? So now it's like, it's not exactly the same, which I'm all for these, you know, seeing what their careers are. But if their whole thing is just used as a launching pad, I'm not interested in watching an infomercial for 23 weeks.
Right. And it's, I love Lisa Rinna. For me, she can do no wrong. But yeah, Dorit, I can't. But this is my question. Like, do you think, I personally think that without Kim, they turn on each other.
Right. And there's not a huge catalyst there. And there's the stakes are so low.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
I mean, I hate to be so hateful about it, but I'm just not enjoying it. And it makes me angry. And I'm trying to figure out why. I think I'm better off just not watching. But I mean, I am. And I, you know, I talk about it, and I know the people that, you know, listen to the podcast want to hear my point of view, because a lot of us, a lot of us viewers of Beverly Hills feel the same frustration. And so I'm kind of sharing that with people just in my own direct, no-nonsense way of like, I don't have time for this. Honestly, there's just so much good stuff on TV right now. And if the weather is getting nice, so it's just sit and watch this. I mean, there's just other stuff to do.
Right. What do you think about Camille's this week, the backlash with Camille and her saying, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, she was like, oh, well, I like her so much better. What did she say? Because she had receding gums and her teeth were all whatever. But then she issued, like, an apology. I kind of like that, Camille.
Yeah, I mean, that's very real. That's what you would say in a friend group, right? I mean, if you're with your girl's friends out and, like, you know, the one of them isn't there, and you're going to, of course they're going to come to the table. Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty of stuff like that, but I don't say it in a hateful way, and I don't think she did either. I just think she did it in a gossipy way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what it is, but, like, again, they've got everybody else there, including Lisa Rinna, saying, like, oh, you know, be careful, because they're all there to self-edit and to self-produce.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. I mean, I don't know what you do with that, because we're in a city where the business is the business, and they want names, which I don't know why we need to have names, to be honest with you. I think the better housewives of Beverly Hills were not names, necessarily.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, they're all going to be so worried about their public appearance and their careers, so I don't know how you solve a problem like that.
Right. But then I'm like, okay, if you look at the New York girls, which for me are like the platinum housewives, like, they have images and like, Bethany, that's her whole, she's all about her brand, you know?
That's true.
But she doesn't give a shit. She, you know, she was on this week. I just watched this week's episode just now before you came, because I was backed up.
I just watched before I came here.
Oh, did you?
We were probably watching at the same time.
Yeah. And I was like, only Bethany would just come out of Dorinda's house and be like, I got my period. And she was asking, like, I bet no one here has a tampon. Like, who else would say that?
Nobody else. Yeah. You know? I enjoy that show. Bethany, I could take or leave, but I think she's very important for the show. As far as, like, a person goes, like, I don't know. Like, I don't have any negative ways, feelings towards her, but I don't know if we'd be the same kind of person. Yeah, I don't know if we'd be friends.
Right. Yeah, she seems like a very...
You gotta watch every word with her.
Yeah. Rough person to,
Yeah, but you're right. That does kind of debunk my theory of these women being there for business and worrying about their image, when you know, she's definitely image conscious. She is a brand, but I guess she's just a different kind of person. And she that's part of the brand, I guess. But the others are too worried about, you know, Beverly Hills, she, BS.
She.
Ugh, I can't stand it.
I know. That's what I like find. So, and I talk about this on my Patreon too, about the times that I, you know, like run into the Beverly Hills girls and stuff that I hear about them. And I like, that's why I like talking about it so much, because I'm like, it's such bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you only knew like what was really going on in this whole, like,
I think that's why I'm not very impressed by Beverly Hills. I just feel like I've been living here and I'm seeing like what it's really like. Like I see the places they go to, like, you know, they'll probably catch out for this, but they went to one place in North Hollywood. The opening scene. I mean, you, first of all, you're not going to pay me to go to that bar in North Hollywood. Never mind go on national TV and get in, like, you know, a Versace suit and sit down at a federal bar in North Hollywood. I mean, you know, I'm just not that, like, the shine and everything isn't distracting me from what it is. I'm not that impressed. You know what I mean? Just, like, tell an organic story, please.
Right. That's actually a really good point now that you say that, because I wonder if that's like one of the reasons why I get kind of frustrated with it too, because I was saying, one of my friends was asking me, texted me Tuesday night on the episode, and she was like, oh, that restaurant, Beauty in Essex, it looks so nice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's in the freaking like gross ass part of Hollywood. Yeah. Like, you do not want to go there. And, she's coming here in May, and she's like, should we go there for dinner? I'm like, you do not want to go there.
There's,
I'm like,
so many other places.
So many other places TV, that you could. Yeah. I'm like, first of all, it's gross and it's really close to the Scientology buildings, but it alone freaks me out.
Yes. I'm obsessed with Scientology for all the wrong reasons.
My God, me too.
Or the right reasons, I guess.
Obsessed. Yeah. I like, my husband can't stand it because I watch like every documentary,
me too.
Every movie, every show. And I was telling,
I know too much. I know way too much about just from watching everything I can
find.
Everything,
yes. And I was telling Aaron Martin the other day, I was telling her that, love her so much. Yeah. That last summer I was driving from like Los Feliz back home, so back west this way, and I was on Fountain, and I drove past the blue building, you know, and that was, I really, of course, read all these books or whatever, and I don't even remember which book it was, but in one of the books, it may have been Jenna Miscavige Hill's book. Have you read her book?
I have not read it, but I'm familiar with it because I've seen the interviews.
Okay. I highly recommend her book. I listened to it on Audible. It's tough to listen to, but it's fascinating.
I'm on Audible now. I had to get that View book. So,
oh my God, yes, that's the one that Aaron and I were just talking about.
So after that View book, I'll listen to this Jenna Miscavige book. Yeah.
Yeah, listen to her book. It's fascinating. And I honestly, like, you want to give her a hug when you're listening to it. And but also, such, I'm like, victims, you have such balls, like, saying all this stuff, because she's, I mean, she's saying it about her uncle and like her whole family and all this. But it may have been in her book that they, you know, like the Sea Org people, they all live in the special Sea Org housing or whatever. And she listed this one building that's on Fountain, and don't ask me the cross street, I don't remember, but in that part of Hollywood,
the
way down.
Blue building, yeah.
Well, no, it was next to the blue building. It's, it's this apartment building.
Oh, okay.
And it's only for Sea Org members. And I think she was describing it because she moved there, like, when they first came to LA, and she was still in the Sea Org. And so she says the name of the building or something. So I Googled it and found the address. And I like stalked this building. I drove by it and I'm like looking at it.
That's
whatever.
Something I would
do. It is fucking creepy. First of all, it's this, I don't know, maybe like 3-story high, like white kind of Mediterranean building, but looks like it hasn't been maintained since like 1947. And
It's a dump?
It's a dump. And it's, you know, the like the barbed wire with that goes like round, and then there's also the ones that like cave in, like that would be like around a prison. Ooh. All around it, and the security cameras that security cameras that they have like at the Staples Center, the ones that are like, you know, mounted up in the thing, and there's like a globe everywhere.
Wow.
And then there's this parking lot right next to it that it's very weird. The only cars I saw in there were, I call them murder vans, but like the big white, you know, vans.
Yep.
That's all that was in there. And you see, it's not that far away from the blue building. You see the Sea Org people in their outfits walking. back and forth. And I was just like fascinated. And then I kind of like pulled over, but then I saw this guy. He's like standing at the front. He has his arms crossed in his little outfit. And I was like, oh God, what if he sees me? And I was like, it's, yeah, blows my mind.
I just really want to help those people, though. The more I see them and the more I learn about what's really going on, it's like, I just want to, like, as opposed to gawking or laughing at them, I just want to help them as humans.
I hope it doesn't come off like I don't want to, like, make fun of them.
Past, I used to, like, you know, kind of get a kick out of it. But now that I see how serious it is, I mean, it really is, it's sad. And it's literally, I mean, living here in LA, it's around you. I mean, living in Clearwater, Florida, it's around you. You know, also in other places that they are trying to expand and make these big missions.
They were talking about on this on Leah Remini's show this season with the fake, which I didn't even know there were all these. I didn't know there was one in North Hollywood.
Ideal orgs, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know there were all these.
Of course, like stuff with Scientology, you know, we have to protect ourselves and say alleged. But like when it comes to this apartment complex that you were discussing, it sounds like a dump. Now I'm gonna go look. You gotta give me some information.
Yeah,
I'd love to do a drive by.
Yeah,
but like. They invested, though, in the security. So what kind of organization does that when to house people who work for them poorly, but yet invest, I'm sure, a good 100K in equipment to maintain what?
Well, you
know,
that's the thing.
You know, they would say their security, I guess. But, I mean, you know, I live in Hollywood. I don't have that security, and I'm okay.
Well, yeah, but it's also that, and that's what Jenna Miscavige Hills was describing in her book. I mean, she was describing the living quarters, and it just sounded awful.
I've always heard they're all roach or rat infested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always said there's no excuse for a roach. So never mind living in squalor. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, it's sad because they really do believe that they're doing the greater good for humanity and the world. You know, but I mean. Just follow the money. Follow the money and you'll see.
And that's what they were saying. And there's this actually, this is the other thing that like really freaked me out is that there's this list on, I forget what the website is, but there's this list of all these properties that Scientology owns. And the California list is pages and pages and pages.
Mm.
And it's all these, I mean, there's buildings in Beverly Hills. There's buildings in Century City. And I'm like, and like a year ago, I was having this guy help me with my website and doing like SEO stuff, whatever. Now I can't even talk about it because the amount of money I was paying him a month, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I fucking did that. But I found out that he was a Scientologist. And I was like, I was so creeped out. And I was like, oh my God, this guy has all my personal information. And I mean, he had to have known that I was Jewish because I don't remember why he would have known that. There was some reason why. Oh, because it was Passover last year and I made some comment about like, oh yeah, we're going to whatever so-and-so's house for Passover and he didn't say anything. But I was like, and whatever. He was a nice guy. I was a little weirded out by it. Yeah. And I don't know. It was because he kept talking about his other job. And he's like, I have to do this for my other job. And whenever I'm like, what's your other job? He's like, oh, it's, you know, in IT and whatever. Mm. And I do this. And I was like,
Interesting.
And I don't think he was in the Sea Org. I think he was a public member or whatever. But yeah, then I was like, okay. Cause he's like, I met my girlfriend through my church and whatever. And I was like, went together.
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever met a Scientologist, at least a practicing one. Weird.
Maybe you don't know you have.
Maybe I do. I know. It's like people who are like, I've never met a gay person. And it's like, well, you know, you may have. There are enough people here in Hollywood to
have been met. To West Hollywood.
Yeah. So, I mean, Scientology is around me, so it's very likely. Interesting. Yeah. And I gotta be careful. Although I've talked about Scientology at length on my podcast, and I've never really had any backlash. I've noticed that a lot of Scientologist topics have come up on podcasts, and I don't believe that they are as plugged in as they want people to believe. I don't think they're really paying attention to the podcast space. I think that they're kind of stuck in the past a little bit, and they're more worried about what's in print and on television. I mean, they're so bent out of shape with this Leah Remini show. They created their own network, you know, which, I mean, have you ever looked at that? That's on DirecTV and YouTube. Not that I'm advertising or advocating for it.
Oh, that's on YouTube too.
But it's a full live stream on YouTube, and there's no commercials. It's not like you're watching Discovery Channel.
Well, 'cause it is a commercial.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, meet a Scientologist. And then there are other things on the channel as well. And I just say it's very well produced and looks nice. But the message is always the underlining message
of the
books, the teachings, Scientology methods. There's always something. They could be showing you how something's made on like a farm. And then there it's laced with how Scientology influences this. Which, you know, that's their prerogative to do. But I don't like that. I like somebody to be upfront with me. But I guess you could say the same thing for maybe Christian TV. Maybe it's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
when
true.
They talk about how their religion is. I don't know. I want to be very fair.
Right.
But also,
right.
you know, there is a difference, I believe, in practice here.
Yes.
I think Scientology takes it to a dangerous level.
Well, and also anyone that would, the whole, you know, you can't have communication with anyone that's like excommunicated and all that. And for me, like, and like you said, with a lot of different religions, even Judaism, if you go too extreme with anything, it gets to just this like gross point. I think that anything to an extreme is, you know, whatever. And that, who was telling me, I think it was Aaron, was telling me to read this book of this woman, and I have that on my Audible too. I forget what her name is, but she was in Scientology for a long time and then finally got out. And her husband, I think, is still in Scientology. And she...
That must make for a tough relationship.
Yeah. And well, even more, she came out in her 40s and is now married to a woman. They live in LA and they have kids now, whatever. But she was saying that, you know, because apparently the church will say, you know, like, oh, we're totally accepting of gay people, whatever. But she was like, no, they're not, because I guess they did some like really fucked up stuff to her. So
there have been reports of that.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about that. I mean, I wonder what they would tell me if I went up and had said, you know, I identify as a gay man. Would you want to have me on in the thing? I wonder what they would say if I said that. Or like, so if a woman said that, if there would be a difference.
Right.
I wonder, because I've heard different things. I don't know how, I really don't know what their practices are. I know there are things that are factual in text that L. Ron Hubbard wrote against gay people. You know, and that as far as I know, those practices are enforced. I don't know, but that's in writing.
Right. That's what and that's what you were, what reminded me of that was what you were saying with the videos about how it's so well produced. But then if you read like the underlying message under that, and that's what I think like so much of, not even Scientology, but like all cults a lot are, is that, you know, it's like when you really get down to it and they make it sound like so pretty and nice. And one of my husband's cousins, actually, he's much younger. He's like a freshman in college or something. He and his girlfriend were in Hollywood doing something. And he said that they were in front of the Scientology building and they went in just like to do like a looky-loo or whatever. And he said at first they were really nice to them and they were like, oh, you know, could we do this? They were like, do you want a personality test, all that? Because then they found out that we were like kind of looky-loos and they were very quick to be like, okay, you know, skedaddle, bye. But yeah, I don't know why, like, yeah, I'm very fascinated by it.
Yeah,
I'm just very fascinated by the whole thing.
There's a whole hierarchy to it. Even those places on Hollywood Boulevard, I mean, there are the body routers that are out there trying to get people to come in to take the personality test. Then there's the people, the auditors. Then there's these people who have to run them at these, they're not called missions, the orgs.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole thing to it. The people who do the maintenance and a lot of the work are part of this RPF, which is part of like a program to reprogram you to get on the right path.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's all private in this religion, I mean, you really don't know what the practices are and what the conditions are. And, you know, from what I'm sure what you've heard and read and what I've seen too, I mean, it doesn't look good. You know, I would hate to work in publicity for the Church of Scientology. Because their reputation outside of their bubble is very low and poor, and it's sad.
Well, that's what some of those guys said, like Mike Rinder and the other guy who got out. They were like, we basically, our job was to lie.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Have you heard about the Museum of Death?
Yes. Well, the psychiatry museum.
Yes, but isn't it called Museum of Death?
Or that's another one. That's actually like I think that's a legit one. Like that's just like one of those kitschy things in Hollywood to do. But like Madame Tussauds Museum of Death.
Yeah,
there is the psychiatry museum, which I've driven by multiple times because it's right on Sunset.
Yes. I've driven by too.
And I was I feel bad for these people because they are human beings. And this one woman was outside, and all the wind. We've had a lot of wind here in Los Angeles recently.
Yeah.
And she was outside with this big broom. Cleaning up, and she had a shirt, and behind it, it said Sykes with a big red cross through it, like, because they're so against the psychologists or psychiatrists and both of them, I guess. Yeah. And anything to do with the mind and self-help like that, which, you know, I'm totally against, you know, the thought of rejecting a psychologist or a psychiatrist or, you know, bettering oneself. I mean, that's just crazy. So, you know, I kind of feel bad for these people in a way, but it's weird. I mean, like, so odd, like they even have to wear the clothes, you know. Like,
I know.
But I wouldn't go into these places because I hear that they do want to see your driver's license, and I don't need to give that information. I know enough that I really don't need to go inside,
right?
You know, and I look at these people as human beings. And I want to help them, you know.
Yeah.
So it would end up putting me through too much distress.
Right. I know. I've always been curious about that too, and I'm like, I don't want to go there, but yeah, I'm like too.
Yeah.
It's scary. And I think that, I feel that too. Like, I feel, I'm very empathetic in that if I see someone else, you know, in pain or it's very hard for me not to take that on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I guess like Leah Remini says, it's like, if they're in it, they don't, you know, they can't see around
it. What's fascinating is the amount of people that have been reported to have passed from cancer that are Scientologists. And that's another thing that's come out, too. And if you listen to the Leah Remini show, a lot of these people, I should say the real name, Leah Remini, The Aftermath, Scientology, The Aftermath. Basically, a lot of people have either committed suicide or passed from cancer. I'm not saying everybody. But I know cancer is prevalent, and I'm wondering if that's just, you know, living where you're denying yourself so much.
It eats away at you.
You know, that, it's just, like, it's not good for one's health, I mean, especially not for anyone's mental health.
When I also wonder about, like...
I want to help. I feel so bad. I want to help them. I know. They're human beings.
I know.
They probably tell me to go F myself. You know what I mean? They probably spit on me in the street, but here I am so concerned. You know, and I can't save the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Beverly Hills Housewives.
Beverly Hills Housewives. Who can really save Beverly Hills Housewives? I know. I'm wondering, because they said they said there's going to be a new producer this year, and...
Where is he? Where is she?
Okay, here's a question. Do you think if they sent the whole New York team to... do Beverly Hills, do you think would have a chance?
That'd be smart. I mean, you know, you're gonna work with the deck that you have, I guess, of cast. You know what I mean? I think that there's a possibility that you could introduce new people and still bring back someone to balance it out, like an Adrian. You need to have a Brandy on there.
Right.
Just pay Brandy whatever she wants, because, you know, it's...
She
delivers, and, you know, she's been out of work for a while. She's had steady work ever since. She's clearly a commodity in the reality TV world. I don't know if you watched her on Celebrity Big Brother last year.
Yes.
But, you know, like, that's my jam. Like, that was, like, you know, what, like, paid for itself.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, take her back. I mean, this is her thing, and she's got history with these women. And, you know, I think that if Vanderpump will ever find it in herself to move on, that they could put Brandy in her place. I'd like to see them together. I think that would make for great TV. But I'm sure it's someone's threatened someone along the way that they won't do it with the other.
Right.
So,
but do you think that LVP is really going to leave this year?
Or she should have. This girl should have left 3 years ago. She has her own show. She has not contributed to this show at all.
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it. She certainly doesn't need the money. I don't like how she's got these ironclad contracts with all, and I know they all have contracts, but hers are like to have this many screen time for her businesses. And also, this is all alleged. Yeah. I have a hard time buying into all of this. Yeah. You know, I mean, her birthday had to be held at Tom Tom. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and she didn't know anything about it. She didn't want to have a birthday, but yet it was.
Oh my God.
I don't want to be so hateful, but look, I mean, I'm trying to find the positivity of things a little bit more these days, but it doesn't sound like it. I really don't enjoy her at all.
I don't either, because I feel like it's too, yeah, it's way too put upon and too, like, I just...
So put upon. I'm ready for somebody new.
Somebody, and you know who I think would be really good for Beverly Hills? Someone like a Kim Richards, who maybe was, like, big in the 80s and still has that, you know, there's so many people that, I was at Gelson's the other day at Century City Mall, and there's so many of these women who I'm like, it. Like, I watched this woman the other day, and she had a crocodile Birkin, and then we were leaving at the same time. We were going out into the parking little thing at the same time, and she was parked a few, like, spots down from me, and she had a brand new Bentley convertible. And you knew it was brand new because they changed it. Now you have to have that paper license plate thing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and, you know, she just looked, like, refreshed or whatever. She was, I don't know, maybe, like, in her 60s. I mean, she looked great, but she, like, dripping in diamonds. And I'm like, ugh, okay, who the fuck are you?
I know.
How the hell do you have this much money?
I love it.
And why, she kind of, I don't know why I got the vibe that maybe she was, like, a has-been actress or something, just because her hair was all blown out and whatever. And she just kind of had that, like,
she wanted
vibe.
To be seen.
Yeah. And, I was like, that's who they need. Someone that has, like, who has these, like, really old stories and drama and who runs into people and is like, oh, whoever. I feel like that would be better.
I have heard the show is hard to cast. It's hard to get women to commit. You know, like, especially these women, they don't really need the money or the exposure. But, like, there's got to be someone enough who, there's going to be someone who wants TV time enough. You know, they found Dorit, even though I don't think she has a dollar in her pocket.
Oh, God.
But I mean, like, I mean, that husband. Can we talk about the husband?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, you obviously have not listened to my Patreon. my husband works in the building.
I've heard this, that he works in the building of Beverly Beach, right?
Yes. Did you hear that? Oh, I talked about it on my regular podcast.
Yes. I heard
so
this.
He works in the, and he started coming home and saying, like, oh, I saw PK in the elevator. I'm like, okay.
Oh, God.
Why, first of all, tell me everything, which he had, like, no details. And I'm like, okay, what was he doing there? What was he wearing? What did he smell like? Is his face really full of rosacea? Was he sweaty? Like, I had all these questions. He had literally nothing for me. He was like, he kind of smelled like cigarettes. Like, that was as much dirt as he could get. But yes. And so then he found out from the valet guy, who apparently is who I need to talk to,
because
he has all the dirt. Anyway, yeah. So, Elias, I don't know about Beverly Hills. I don't know what to, I don't know. Yeah, I think it needs to be more, it's too she, and it needs to be, I don't know what to do about it. Yeah. But New York, really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. Oh, one thing I have to ask you. Did you realize, I took a screenshot of it because I was like, I didn't know if you were going to, or not a screenshot, I took a picture of my TV. I didn't know if you would catch this. Okay. When Tinsley, did you catch Tinsley's shoes? When she was unpacking her bag.
No.
Do you remember these shoes?
Are those the same ones that her mother was wearing?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
Yes. Last week when Dale was wearing the Tabitha Simmons flats. And now this week on Beverly Hills, when she's loading up her Louis Vuitton, as the Countess says, she's wearing the fucking Tabitha Simmons shoes. So I have a lot of questions about this. One, did she borrow them from Dale? Or does she have her own pair? And I really hope that comes up at the reunion.
Yeah, or
really
did Tabitha send them to her and say, hey, where are these on Housewives?
Maybe she did. Maybe she I mean, it doesn't seem like a very, like, there's a lot of animosity between her and her ex-husband.
No,
so maybe.
Tinsley, I think, I mean, I don't know. It's like comparing, like, crazy to crazy. But, like, the others on the show, I don't know, like, the health of their relationships are sometimes in question. I mean, it's not that she's in an amazing relationship. I mean, we're going to see this play out. But, like, you know, I mean, I feel like at least her 2 feet are on the ground, even if they're in her ex-husband's wife's shoes.
New wife's shoes. Yeah. Oh, my God. She's driving her Bentley SUV which I didn't really understand why he sent it to New York. what the purpose of?
What's the point? I would never want to drive. I would never want to drive, especially a Bentley in New York. I don't want to drive here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's...
No. But no, I mean, yeah. You know, Tinsley Mortimer isn't going to exactly get on, like, the Red Line or the subway. You know what I mean? She's not going to get
she
on.
She only does Uber Black, okay?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd love to get to that point. You know what I mean? Someday when I don't have to worry about things. Like, that is the dream. You wonder, like, how think these mid-tier... No, she's not mid-tier, but she comes from money.
Yes.
But, like, you know, these people who are, like, you know, they're on... They do, like, a guest spot on E! Every once in a while. Or, you know, they're around, but, like, they're not, like, you know, household names. Like, how do they do it? Like, do they are they literally going down the subway, or are they calling, like, cheap lifts? Like, you know what I mean? Like, at what point? Because, I mean, you know, I guess a lot of people take it, but, like, I don't know. If I was kind of well-known, I wouldn't want to be on it.
I know.
It's like a safety thing, too.
That's true. Which also makes me think about, I felt bad for Sonia this week in the Morgan house.
She was going through something. Yeah.
She really seems like she's,
Yeah, she was a little manic going through this house. I mean, she didn't even probably know who lived in the house, but you know, she would just put her glasses on and look at all the different, you know, portraits of all the four Morgans. You know, I just think that she's trying to, you know, she identifies with that. That's clearly a very big thing. I mean, it's part of her identity, whether she's, you know, an honorary Morgan or not, through marriage, through divorce. Like, that's, like, she really believes that she's a part of that legacy. And I'm glad, though, that she respects the legacy for her daughter's sake. But, I mean, she definitely took it to another level. I mean, you know, don't touch the letters and all this
stuff. Oh, my gosh, at the end for next week, the letters! And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe they should have been under plexiglass. But, I mean, again, are we looking at letters from, like, Martha Washington to George Washington? Or are we looking at letters from, like, you know, 1922 from, like, you know, random Morgan, seventh cousin, wrote a letter about the weather the night before? I mean, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's not like the founding fathers. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I feel bad for Sonia, but then I also am like, okay. I mean, I love Sonia.
She must remain on that show.
She had to. Even Ramona. And I know Ramona can be a trash human being sometimes, but I fucking love her. And I'm like...
You gotta love to hate her.
You gotta love to hate her.
The people who don't like her have to love to hate her. I mean, she's just a fixture on the show.
She's a fixture on the show.
It's kind of like Vicky Gunvalson. You know what I mean? You gotta kind of respect that.
Vicky... Oh my God. Vicky fucking Gunvalson. How did you feel about her demotion?
I still am not accepting it. I heard that she didn't get it, though, after all. They sent her flowers and everything got worked out.
Well, now I'm confused. Yeah, I'm confused. It's very still, because Kelly Dodd called into Jeff Lewis's show, and she was like,
No,
she's not filming us with whatever, so that...
Well, now she's friends with Kelly again, so I'm sure she did some type of damage control to get back in.
She had to, but you know what? I know a lot of people hate Vicky, whatever. I mean, Vicky, too, because it's the same thing. Like, to know her is to love her. And
she's got to be a part of the show. I mean, she comes, she's a fixture. She comes with it. It's like a foundation of a house. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you know, it might be falling apart in different places. But, you know, I don't envy her producer. I wouldn't want to produce for her because she really doesn't have much going on. I mean, they've told every story they can tell with her. I mean, if I'm going to be fair, which I don't know if I need to be, but I usually say, like, people, their stories have been told. And Vicky, who definitely we've seen her story play out. Lisa Vanderpump, we've seen her story play out. So, you know, why can I call for the demise of others and not for Vicky? It's a tough question. I'm not a perfect person.
I think it's just her longevity. And she also, like, she's really not afraid to let it all hang out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so invested in her life now. I mean, like, a decade in, like...
More than a decade.
Yeah. I mean, I care way more about her than that other one, Jennifer on New Jersey with the bathrooms.
Oh, God. You know what I mean? There's so
many at this point that it's been so fleeting that the ones that I'm, like, you know, a decade in with...
Right.
Like, you know, I will respect their position on the show.
Right.
But, you know, at certain points, it is kind of good to mix it up. Maybe they come back as a friend of a la Camille. You know, Camille used to be my number one, but I will go on the record and say she just isn't anymore. She doesn't do it for me anymore. She's fine.
Even with Nights from this week's episode?
I enjoy it. I was very entertained. But, you know, I feel like who else can we work with, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
My biggest thing is finding these, these young moms don't really work for me anymore either. They're always trying to, Orange County's notorious for it. They plugged in so many young moms over the years.
Lizzie and...
Yeah, it just doesn't always work. The stunt casting, I'm not interested in either.
No.
Kim Fields, there are others that have done well, but I love Eileen Davidson, but, her story was kind of told a little bit.
I know.
The young moms don't really do it. In New York, they never worked.
God.
It just never worked.
Jules was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just not the crowd for a young mom.
No.
I don't know. I think it's hard to make blanket statements about older and younger because each city is very unique in their own thing. Very much so their own thing. But I don't know. I'm just kind of tired of the storyline, are we going to be having another baby? We're having a baby. Or
with her embryos.
I'm a mom and I'm trying to juggle it all.
Anyway, I will wrap it up because we've been talking for an hour and I want to let you go. Do you have any last remarks about New York?
One thing I'll say again, I guess to tie it all up, New York, for me, when I watch it, it goes by quick. When I watch Beverly Hills Housewives, it feels like I watched a 2.5-hour movie with DVD commentary and then the extras. And I'm like, wait a minute, these shows are about the same length? They're the same amount, long time? And so, I guess I've turned into a little bit of a hater, and I really perhaps shouldn't watch, but I'm too nosy, and I know a lot of people want to get the thoughts. And, I'm keeping up. It doesn't mean I need to love it. I hate watch TV all the time. I hate watch The View.
Of course.
I hate watch The View. I've hate watched The View for 15 years. So, this is only probably about year two or three for Beverly Hills. So with New York, it really is a treat. And I'm actually sad when it ends because, Dallas, I enjoy Dallas quite a bit. I'm glad they're not on at the same time because it balances it out. But, the Housewives, they come and go and they ebb and flow. And very few of them entertain me the way that New York does.
That is very. I was thinking that today when I was watching the episode and I was like, I felt like this episode of New York was like an entire season.
Yeah. I get a laugh every episode, and that makes me happy.
Every episode? Are you going to Countess and Friends when she comes in May?
I've been reached out to about this. I'd like to go to it. I don't know much about it other than the day, but I would like to go. I've been when she was here before.
Oh, you were?
She was at some cantina. It was some cantina on Sunset Boulevard. Look, I talked a lot about it on the podcast, Grant. It's like we had to go through a parking garage. And
shit.
It was an odd spot. The interior was nice, but I was like, where are we going? Like in the bowels of Hollywood. I was like, okay. But so this one, I don't know where it is exactly.
It's at the Wiltern.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, she's upgrading.
That's like legit. Which I've said, my podcast too.
Upgrading from where we were.
It's not a great area, but I'm not.
The venue is legit.
The venue is legit. I'm not a fan of that part of town. I'm a little scared of it, but the venue, that's a legit theater.
Yeah.
And huge.
Good for her. Good
for
her. I just hope that she can find some humbleness in her heart, though. I know that she's definitely riding this high and. She's, the ego. I think we've all heard things about the ego.
Well, Bethany dropped a little bit of a bomb on this week when she said, I think it was in her confessional maybe, when she said, I don't know if she said she paid for or arranged.
She had some involvement in coordinating. I don't know if money was exchanged. I'd be curious to know.
We need to see the receipts.
Yeah. But see, that's something that would never happen on Beverly Hills. Because be a whole storyline about who did what and who said what about her going to rehab. This is how much is going on in New York. Yeah. But this was said in
passing comment.
In an interview. And it was like, next, what happened next? Naked Chef comes out and then they move on to the next scene. It's crazy. But God bless the show.
with his hairy ass. Oh my God. I loved every part of it. I love them all. I love Dorinda.
I think I'd be friends with Dorinda if I had to be friends with one of them. Not because I think she's the best of all of them, but I think we would have the most to connect on. I think she's probably I am no BS. And I think Bethany is, I think I'd have to watch every word that comes out of my mouth.
Yes.
Because if I say,
conniving.
Yeah, if I say, oh, this took forever to get here, then she'd ask, how long did it take? And then, it would be like, well, that's not really that long. I feel like I'd be picked apart. And I'm not looking for that in a friend. I'm just looking to vent.
Yes.
But Dorinda, I feel like we could have a good laugh and a good chat and some real talk. So that's what I think. Now, Sonia, I'd like to be friends with, but I feel like that friendship would be work. You know, because it's just like you got to kind of carry her coat, take care of her, you know, look out for her. Like you got, you're turning into a chaperone with her.
Right. She would like ask you to babysit her dog or something. Yeah.
And Ramona, I feel like you would be the last person in the room because she's too busy looking for men. You know what I mean? So like you'd walk in together and then she'd be like that friend that goes off and does her own thing. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, with her eyes. And oh my God. And I'm sorry. I really don't like Babs.
Oh, I don't mind her. But I mean, they're starting to paint her as an annoyance now.
These last few episodes.
We'll see. But now she's on this trip to the Berkshires. We've seen her out and about with the housewives. She went to the gangster dinner with a hat on. So it's almost like they're painting her as full-time. So I guess we got to see why she didn't make full-time status.
As Ramona said, they didn't give her an apple.
No. Oh, Ramona. She can't even acknowledge that she's a part of the show.
I know.
Can't acknowledge Barbara. It's so funny. Because I feel like they're kind of cut from the same cloth. But, like, I guess not.
She has some weird thing with Barbara.
Even in the press before the season came out, I mean, she was out and she could barely acknowledge. Yes. She was, like, jumping down the host's throat. And they said, oh, there's a new woman on the show. Well, she's not a housewife.
Yeah, Barbara.
She's not real. Like, okay, or they're just asking about the new face on the show.
Okay, Ramona, okay.
I enjoy her, though, but I guess she's another one. Like, I don't know what type of friendship I could get on her. Tinsley, I wonder, too. You know, I wonder what I have in common with her. Yeah, I don't know how much I have in common. But I think she seems like what you see is what you get as far as, like, she's a sweet girl. I don't think she's conniving. She's not a backstabber.
No.
You know? So there's that.
I don't get that vibe at all.
Yeah.
No.
That's my analysis of the Real Housewives of New York City.
I love it. Well, tell everyone where they can get your podcast and your social and all of those good things.
I talk a lot about Bravo, but I'll also mix in a lot of stuff from Page Six, what's going on in the news. It's called Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. And it's a mix of all. It's just that. It's Hollywood Talk. But I know my audience. I know they want to hear about reality TV. So I slant it towards that. You know, it's similar to what we talked about here. I'm not afraid. You know, I've gotten I don't know if the ballsy is the term, but like, I've just been less filtered and just kind of saying like how I mean it.
That's what people like though.
Yeah. I've just kind of given my thoughts. I'm not afraid to call out some BS. So, you know, I hope you'll enjoy the show. At least give it a shot. Check it out. We've got a lot of different interesting guests. I'm not chasing down celebrities to do the show. That's not what it's about. It's all about commentary.
You so I want to get on from Watch What Happens.
Yeah.
That was a fun show. I loved both of you. So that was.
Thank you. That's great. Yeah. I'd like to commentate. So if I start getting involved with celebrities, everyone's going to have to play PC. Then we're dealing with publicists and PR. And then I have to start editing things out, which I will not be doing. You know. So I need people that are just going to come and keep it real. And that's what you get on Grant's Rants.
Yes. I love it. And what's your social too?
Oh, it's Grant's Rants. So at ITS Grant's Rants.
I love it. All right, guys, that is it for the show today. Thank you again so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Again, if you want to hear the full unedited version of the conversation, head on over to my Patreon. It's patreon.com/RHOW. There's quite a few episodes up there now. There's everything from stories of my personal encounters with housewives to gossip I've heard about housewives, my personal stories, stuff about my health and wellness journey, other random anecdotes. Anyway, there's lots of good stuff over there, so check that out. Also, if you haven't listened to my episode with Grant, and not even my episode, by the way, but he has a plethora of amazing, great episodes as well, head on over to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. I was also on the Hot and Bravoed podcast this weekend with Eddie Estrada. That was so much fun. We had a great time. We talked about some Bravo news. So definitely head over to the Hot and Bravo podcast on the Buttered Pop Network and check that out as well. They have a really, really fun show too. Also, if you're not already following me on social media, on Instagram, I'm at The Real Housewife of the West Side, Twitter at RHOW. So I will talk with you guys again on Thursday for another episode. In the meantime, if any of you are celebrating Passover like I am, I wish you a easy and lovely week full of spring cleaning and getting ready for the holiday. Good Yontif, and I will talk to you guys soon.